So the reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
So we pray. Oh Lord, I humble myself before you this day. I look to you for all the words that will pass my lips. Lord, in my weakness, in my brokenness, help me stand and speak life, so that we might gather to honour you. That we might lift our heads and our hearts to cherish your name as holy in this place. That you might unite us with one heart in blessing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trustworthy. Worthy of confidence. Dependable. Unchanging. Reliable, honest, full of integrity, worthy of trust, honourable, upright, true, truthful, as good as one's word, ethical, virtuous, incorruptible, unimpeachable, above suspicion, responsible, level-headed, loyal, faithful, true blue, staunch, steadfast, trusty, constant, unswerving, unwavering, tried and trusted, tried and true, safe, secure, sound, guaranteed, unfailing, foolproof, never failing, on the level, surefire, straight up. This week we're looking at trustworthy, a God who doesn't change, doesn't lead us up the garden path, doesn't let us down even when things around us are messy. He doesn't always do what we want him to do. He is reliably surprising, but he is reliable. As Jesus spoke of God, so we can look to him for consolation, for constant supplies of love, for adoration that brings freedom and joy, calling us home. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus, spoke of Abba, Daddy, my God, Eli, the Lord, Kyrios, great King, Holy One, God of the living, Lord of heaven and earth, Most High, Heavenly Father. And in Matthew's words today, Jesus offers a simple way to begin to talk with God. Prayer is a weird one, really, isn't it? We speak, we listen out, hoping for connection and opening ourselves up to something bigger than ourselves. It's pretty mystical. Perhaps worth trying out the path of prayer, speaking out your hopes, your concerns, your thanks for a new day, the lament you're living with, the healing you desire. The speaking out and the listening in silence has transformed my life over the years, has steadied me in faith. In the Bible, prayer is what Jesus calls us to join him with, so we might find ourselves less stressed, more aware, less afraid, more able to breathe, more attuned to the ways of love. I believe our prayer offerings open up the possibility of the new day instead of letting the disabler, our own thoughts or pressures, come in and steal away the hope. Our prayer offerings open up the possibility of the new day. I believe they join us in connection with the divine, and that connection grounds us in love and expands faith. His close friend saw Jesus going off to pray and perhaps wondered what prayer changed for him. They asked him to teach them how to talk with God, and Jesus invites, start like this. Our Father in heaven. Our Father offering family relationship, the tangible and gentle connection with one who dearly loves you. In heaven, offering a mystical path that we are yet to fully experience, the magnitude and glory of God. Just in the first four words of the Lord's Prayer, huge respect and huge simplicity, huge invitation into the way we speak to God as Jesus spoke. Jesus and you have the same good Father, our Father. We are looking at the same direction, the same good parent that we all are so seriously in need of. He draws us into a family that perhaps unlike those we've had on earth. Some of us have had pretty dodgy families. Some of us have been given really dodgy fathers. My own father was dearly loved and yet deeply flawed. This had a big and confusing impact on how my brothers and I saw life. We've all been through quite a lot of counselling now. But we do not have to be tied to our own experience. Let's be open to a new kind of parenting as Jesus guides us into relationship, into a way more reliable and generous type of love. It's hard for us as we can only perhaps think to the edges of our own experience. A brilliant example of this is seen in adoption, where children sometimes have faulty models of parenting already set as a kind of blueprint, maybe traumatized by fearful experiences or confused about what childhood actually is. An attempt is made by an adoptive parent to lay a new blueprint in loving kindness, but the child might not recognize it, may fight it, or not trust the motive. Trying to rework old patterns of aloneness and fear can sometimes feel more comfortable for the child. We like to stay with what we know sometimes, don't we? And a good 8 years on in our parenting of Seska shows how trustworthiness can be built by going through the pain together, speaking truthfully of the horrors and of the love that we hold as a banner over her head. Over time and with much prayer, love transforms the pain. The dodgy old blueprint, drawn up to cope with the chaos, is replaced with a sure foundation of Christ-like compassion and new courage. How then does God parent more perfectly, more constantly than the basic human type of parenting that I can offer? He has a more beautiful blueprint for us set in the life and the death and the life of Jesus Christ. Can we, despite the earthly parents we may have had, accept the adoption into his family that is modelled on a love that never fails us? He offers us the closeness of a good father, a good mother. And he also gives us the, whoa there, this God knows me. And he also knows the heavenly realm. In the Bible, the first person to name God was Hagar, a woman, a single mother, an African slave. When she discovers God, sees her and hears her, the abused, she names him the God who sees, El Roi, the God who sees you. God has a way of raising up the vulnerable, offering his hope by showing his closeness. And we begin to see the closeness of God in Jesus, where he is baptized and the heavenly realm is opened. God is present and he shines upon him through him. Perhaps the heavens are always opened. We just need to tune in with Jesus and his dad, our Father, close, who art in heaven, also close, but also huge. In those days, and perhaps now too, Jewish people believed that heaven was very close to us, close as the air that we breathe. I believe that too. I feel like something of heaven when I look at you today. I feel like I see something of heaven when I walk around Reading. I feel like I see something of heaven as I look up at the sky, admire the beauty of a flower, a wild sea. I feel like I see something of heaven as I see people hug, smile, comfort each other when they're weeping. Heaven is really impossibly close and ridiculously beautiful if we open our hearts and our eyes to the everyday loveliness of our Creator God, visible in all things. We need to be like Seska, my daughter, like children in their willingness to change and trust afresh. We can always learn from the children in gaining a new understanding of parenthood, reliable, honest, unchanging, always there for us, the trustworthy God. If Jesus trusted his Father, even as he entered into his suffering, you and I can do the same. Let me read to you from the Message from Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with them into a garden called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into an agonizing sorrow. Then he said, "This sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell on his face, praying, "Abba, my Father, if there is any way to get me out of this, but please, not what I want. What do you want?" Then he came back to his disciples and he found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer, so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger." And then he left them a second time, and again he prayed, "My Father, if there's no way other than this, drinking this cup to the dregs, I'm ready. Do it your way." And when he came back, he again found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open. This time he let them sleep on. And he went back a third time to pray, going over the same ground one last time. So Jesus asked our Father to remove his cup from him. A cup is the stuff of life that is pretty hard to trust God with. For Jesus, it was what lay ahead: being betrayed, rejected, abused. And for me, it's when a relationship gets really tricky. When I've been rejected, lied to, bullied, roughed up, held hostage. When I've lost my children to miscarriage. When I've found myself responsible for others in very violent situations. Watching my beloved dad fall apart with cancer and supporting mum after his death, finding out he'd been hiding adultery, years of adultery. Ugh. Grief has been a bitter cup, when loss makes everything look surreal. It can make you feel numb to life. If you're wading through grief or deep sadness, then I weep with you. There just seems to be a lot of ugly cups to drink from, don't there? Good grief. Some of you will have been through divorce, loneliness, redundancy, changes in family, illness, working out what to do after betrayal, adultery or abuse. Like Jesus, we may lament and we ask God to take these heavy seasons in life. It's comforting to know that I can be truthful about the pain of life, that I can tussle with God as Jesus did in the garden. When you're sick or sad or hurt, it's rough ground to walk on. It's rough. And I'm sorry that some of you are finding that in your day today. Perhaps you feel like you have a cup today. Does that situation prevent you from trusting a God of love? Let's talk to him about that. Let's not bottle up our hurt, but pray with the prayer team at the back or with a friend nearby following the service. Let's use all of those methods that Joy has just outlined for us. Jesus trusted Abba. Jesus trusted our Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we can step forward in the knowledge that his love prevails through the harshest of environments. We can trust our Father in heaven through death and into resurrection and new life. He will be with you on that journey, whatever cup you're faced with, however fragile you're feeling. Let's agree as a community to head deeper into God, his word, his love, into prayer. His character becomes more apparent as we call on him. We call on him by name. And perhaps when we don't know what to pray, we can call on him by name. Holy Father, mighty God, my strength, strong one, loving Father, Papa, Saviour, King of Kings, Nkosi, Pata, Ruhanga, the breath, wind, spirit of life, the God who sees me, who watches over me, El Roi, Jehovah Shalom, my comfort, El Hanari Man, the faithful one, he nourishes. My rock, El Sali, compassionate God, El Rakum, Emmanuel, God is with us, Jesus, Jesus. The names of God are powerful in English, in Hebrew, in all our languages. His name calls us into right relationship. His name is full of goodness, faithfulness herself, gentle and strong. And when we see Jesus, we also see God. Jesus careful to guide us into good relations. This is the man who from the cross said to his friend, John, here is your mother. And to his mother, here is your son. He was hanging from 8-inch nails, that place of execution and pain. And what does he do? He knits us together with one another. To care for each other, to support each other in our grief. He is there passing on the way of love so that we might offer that to one another. If he can speak that love, that great love from the place of death, then he is trustworthy in bringing us together today. A reliable God who doesn't play games with us, but guides us homewards into his loving arms. Guides us in supporting one another, forgiving, protecting, gentle, challenging, kind, patient, characteristics of both the perfect motherhood and fatherhood. And in Jesus, we see these characteristics. Someone you can certainly trust with your life. Our Father in heaven. The delight of good relationship, the delight of knowing a love so strong that you and I can sit in it today and understand ourselves wrapped within the heavenly realm. Abide in him. Let's keep our eyes on the goodness that is in everything. We can talk to a friend. We can meet here to share hope. We have people who will listen and pray with us. We have a God who will be there in the wee small hours of the night. Waiting to free us up. God has given us vast treasures to get us through our days. We can ignore that treasure and only look at the mess we find, or we can gaze at the treasure as well. Paul writes to us from prison in Philippians 4. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, let us think about such things. Wow, from a dirty first century prison cell in Rome, dear Paul was encouraging us today to look up, to look at the goodness set out before us. Thank you, Paul. Therefore, joy comes as a choice. Sometimes it's a difficult, ridiculously difficult choice to make. But it is easier to say yes to joy when we realise that we're not riding life alone. It becomes a realistic response to anything thrown at me because I've had the time, the prayer and the rest to really gaze at the treasure of life. The excellent things, the true things, the praiseworthy things of this moment, less distracted by the stress and the struggle and the general activity. And as we gaze at God working through our failures and our weaknesses, through our heartache and through the brilliance of creation, we can begin to make joy our discipline, to make it a habit instead of choosing a negative underpinning for our lives. Where did you see God work this week? Did you look out for him? Where did you choose joy? Where did you choose to go beyond your experience and trust? Where did you step out and believe in God's overarching and underpinning of love? Where did you choose praise on seeing a new morning? Where did you pass on the joy to others? Sure, we need to share the heartache, the concern, the challenge that God has gifted us in this moment. Let's choose to place our hope in him and live under the cover of his great faithfulness. Trustworthy, worthy of confidence, dependable, unchanging, reliable, honest, full of integrity, worthy of trust, honourable, upright, true, truthful, as good as one's word, ethical, virtuous, incorruptible, unimpeachable, above suspicion, responsible, level-headed, loyal, faithful, true blue, staunch, steadfast, trusty, constant, unswerving, unwavering, tried and trusted, tried and true, safe, secure, sound, guaranteed, foolproof, never failing, on the level, surefire, straight up. Let's pray. Loving Creator, Abba, you are as near to us as the very air that gives us life. Increase in us your gift of faith. Help us to see beyond the suffering and look towards the widespread mercy, the beauty that surrounds us. For you, Lord, are good. Your loving kindness is everlasting and your faithfulness never ending. Yours is the glory, the power and the kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
I've been encouraged this morning to consider God's trustworthiness more than our own feelings and our own struggles. So now as we respond in worship, let's remain seated and allow the words of the songs to minister to us that God himself would minister to us, to join in and to sing them with all our hearts, if that is where we are with God. But allow the truth of them to be sung over us by God himself, if we're not feeling in a place where we can sing them, but we want them to be true in our lives. But let's allow him, our trustworthy God, to minister to us and through us to each other as we just let some of that settle. think this is a song that we should stand and sing as a declaration of the trustworthiness of God.
You breathed your life in me.
Jesus, we receive that truth that there is no mountain you won't climb up, no shadow that you won't shine your light into, no wall that you won't kick down, and no lie that you won't tear down to get us with your trustworthy love. And Lord, even if we're in the place where we feel like we're the lost sheep, we feel like we're stranded, alone, in the dark with no windscreen wipers, Lord, whatever it is, we declare our faith in you, our trustworthy God. And we pray that this week, Lord, whatever we encounter, we will carry that with us. We will know that that is the truth of who you are. And even when we don't, Lord, experience it in a way that is exactly what we need in that moment, Lord, we declare that is still the truth of who you are. And so please, Lord, come and fill us again with the faith to believe it, to declare it, and to live by it. To your glory. And Lord, we thank you that before the service, Jill was praying and had a picture of a kaleidoscope, and that the sense then of there being perhaps somebody here in church today who is feeling like there's a shifting, a pattern of life, a routine, something that is changing, somebody experiencing a lot of change and finding that difficult. And just that simple truth that God sees you like Hagar in the midst of being in an impossible situation. God saw her and was with her and brought her through it. And we declare that the truth is there for somebody here this morning feeling that way. We thank you that ties in so faithfully, so beautifully with all we've heard in the rest of the service today. And so may the blessing of God who is with you, whatever your challenges are this week, God who loves you unconditionally, chases you down in order to show you his love. May his blessing rest on you today and be with you throughout the weekend.